The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Gentlemen, take your marks. Set.
Ladies and gentlemen,
it is February the 8th in 2022. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, all over the world. I welcome each and every one of you to Track World with Alpheus Finlayson on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, ladies and gentlemen. And I say that you're going to really enjoy this evening. And I do appreciate for those people who watch and listen to Track World on various different platforms. I give a shout out to Mr. Sidney Hepburn, a saxophonist at downtown Nassau. I love music. I give kudos to the Minister of Youth, Sports, and Culture, Mario Boleg, for his hope for developing the Dundas Center for the Performing Arts. Our culture is most important, ladies and gentlemen, most important. You just can't pass it by. Talk about the Nassau Music Society is leading the way at Bahama also. Bahama also has John Cox with the art gallery. And when you go there at Bahama, please take your time to see what John Cox is able to do. And it's just not something simple. Then we talk about the National Art Gallery at the University of the Bahamas, and the University of the Bahamas, and we are headed in the right direction. My co-host is none other than a young lady called Philippa Arnett, and she will be here shortly. We are now going to take just a little break. And then we will continue the show again. So just wait a little while and hear some music, and we will be getting on with the show. Thank you so much.
My team of dedicated scientists develop Shell fuels for your car.
For over 100 years, fuels innovation has been at the heart of everything we do.
Since our first ever branded petrol in 1907, we've broken records, supported Ferrari F1 to win Grand Prix, and pushed our fuels to the limit.
Now, every time you fill up a Shell, your engine will benefit from our passion for innovation, helping you to get the most out of every tankful.
With over 100 years of quality fuels innovation,
you can be sure of Shell.
Vancouver to Athens. You know, I'm so excited because to be the one to have the first copy, I know what it was for Hawk, for over the years, his dedication and his excitement, his commitment to bring this best-seller book to us. And I'm excited to have in my possession not only one copy, but two copies from Vancouver to Athens. 50 years of Bahamian International Track and the Field Competition. This is great stuff. So I'm urging all of you to get your own copy. You could get it from Logos, in the Harbor Bay, or Nassau Station is on Rosetta Street, or Chapter 1 at COB, or at Coral News and Gifts in the domestic section of the Linden Pinlin Airport. Let me tell you, man, you will never regret it. This kind of information that you get in this book is really invaluable. It's just terrific stuff. Good sports history, true and factual, you know. So I urge you, just go and get it and keep a copy and even give your friends a copy. And you know, more than one reason I am more excited about having this book. Look at page 200 and you will see me there in live and living color performing. Number 200, you will see Bernard F. Hanna performing, and that is my fulfillment, one of my big fulfillment of having this book.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are back on Track World, and I need to mention that people looking on now is Dion Fraser, who is in the Fraser clan, and I'd have to say that his father would be celebrating a birthday on Valentine's Day. A birthday on Valentine's Day. And then we talk about Sarah Parker, whose husband is going to be coming on the show, Keith Parker. And then I am shocked and amazed that we see somebody whose name is J. Michael in Phoenix, Arizona. I am shocked and amazed that somebody is watching from Arizona. And that's what I am talking about. Well, I'm waiting for my co-host, Philippa Arnett. And a number of people have been at the stadium, and challenges are concerning with the, when you look at that, challenges of the stadium, we do have some challenges. We definitely do have some challenges. And I will say that Carifta is not too far away, and the Minister of Sports, Youth and Culture, and Jamiko Archer, they are concerned with the stadium, and you know, Carifta is not too far away. I have somebody now who has come in, and I would like him to just come. And his name is Keith Parker, if you can. And somebody else who's looking and at the show was Lucia DeVoe Russell, and she is my good cousin. And welcome, Keith, and his daughter. What's the challenge?
Too much effort.
Everything is okay. Everything is okay. And you're going to enjoy it, Keith. You're going to enjoy it.
Okay.
So, you know, with this, we have to let you know who this Track World is brought by. And we're talking about Sun Oil, Arawak Homes, Sunshine Insurance, my bestseller book, From Vancouver to Athens, 50 Years of Bahamian International Track and Field Competition. And it's also brought to you by AFD Services with Freeman DeVoe on Pairdale. Freeman is the CEO, and their business is oil and energy. And then we are talking about something else, well, of course, and we're talking about Vaughn Culmer and Associates Insurance Brokers Limited. I have been a financial services representative at Killeen Insurance for more than 41 years. My business partner is my daughter, Alexis Hanna. We are the A-team at Killeen. Killeen has a variety of insurance, including health, mortgage, Killeen General, as a broker, and to reach them, you will call 397-7625. And you can connect with CFAL at 502-7015. And Keith, how are you doing today?
Well, I was doing quite fine, but getting up all your stairs is rather a challenge.
Okay, I understand that. I understand that.
So you better move downstairs if you want me to come again.
Okay, well, for you, anything is possible.
Good, okay, I'll hold you to that.
So, my dear, tell me about your father.
Oh, my. I didn't know I was going to be on the radio.
No, but it's good.
My chauffeur.
Yes.
Keith Parker, obviously the most amazing man and father one could imagine. But, you know, a sporting legend, and it's just such a pleasure to be here with you, Hawk, also a sporting legend, and to be able to still have him here with us. You know, you just can't say enough about that. It's great.
Well, tell us this. We had the opportunity to come to an event two Thursdays ago, I think. And tell us why was that event held?
Thank you for bringing that up. Four Walls Squash Club and Social Club, rather. They honored my father, which was a particularly personal thing for us because with several other squash enthusiasts, my parents built the squash club, which opened in 1975. And there's a new group of people, young Bahamian professionals who've taken it over and are keeping squash going and growing again in the Bahamas. And it was so touching that they chose to name the championship court number one. I believe it's the first glass-walled court in the Caribbean. Am I correct, Dad?
Mm-hmm.
And they've named it the Keith Parker Championship Court. So that was just amazing to be there and to hear everyone's stories. And to see you there as well, Hawk.
Thank you. I really enjoyed it. So what we did is that other than having something to drink and talking and all of that, we had the opportunity to go in the court. And, you know, that's what it was about.
Yeah, I think Dad can speak better than I about what a great sport squash is, but it really is. We were talking about that on the way here, actually.
Yes.
Yes, Hawk, on that day, which was a great honor for me to have the court named after me, and also totally unexpected but very much appreciated, they made me a life member of the club as well. I mean, I'm...
For as long as you live.
As long as,
okay.
Yeah. I mean, I had a serious road accident. It's over 2 years ago now. But I still have difficulty walking at times and severe back problems. But I'm still hoping that I might manage to get back to actually playing squash, which is a great game. You know, as you know, I think my number one thing that I've enjoyed in sport, I played a lot of different games and track and field, but squash is also a superb game. And I'm delighted that this new group has taken it over, and apparently they have three people coaching. So I hope a lot of Bahamians decide to learn how to play squash. It's like almost everything else. To get good at anything, you know, it takes a while. But the unusual thing about squash, in my opinion, is almost immediately, as soon as you have your first lesson, you can play a game of squash, in actual fact. It's not like tennis, you know, where to serve into that little marked area on the ground. All you have to do to get the game going in squash is hit the the huge white wall in front of you, which is 15 feet high and 28 feet wide, if I remember correctly. I know the height's correct. So you've got to be pretty dumb if you can't do that.
That's something else.
So, and that's to start the game. And after that, all you have to do is hit the ball and stop it from bouncing on the ground twice and keep it under the lines. The lines on the court now are painted blue, which is somewhat unusual. They're usually red, but the interesting thing, and I think the good thing about squash compared with many other games, and particularly tennis, I think, is absolutely crazy, that when you see a ball served or struck, and then they have to go to the cameras, and if even if a fraction of the ball is touching the outer bounds line, they call the ball in. Now, that's crazy, in my opinion. And squash is exactly the opposite. If any part of the ball touches any part of the line, any of the lines, the ball is out, which to me is far more logical.
Keith, I just want to say something. Blossie Smith is watching.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if you know who Blossie Smith is.
It's a familiar name, but I can't place it.
Blossie, you heard about Phil Smith at ZNS?
Oh, yes. Yeah.
That's Blossie's husband.
Oh, okay.
Well, he is passed now.
Right, yeah.
And thank you so much, Blossie, for listening and watching.
Yeah.
We're going to just continue. My co-host is on her way, but the question is, which school did you attend in England, Britain, whatever you call it? Which school did you attend? Forget about the competition now. Which school did you attend in Britain?
You joined to Blossie or you joined to me?
I think he's asking you.
Asking you?
Me?
Yes,
oh.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, I was born in the north of England in Lancashire, a small seaside town called Morecambe, and I went to a primary school there, the same primary school, in fact, that my father attended. And then at the age of 10, I passed the entrance exam to go to the Morecambe Grammar School, which was a fine school for both boys and girls. And I went there when I was 10. And of course, this was during the outbreak of World War II. So all of our male teachers were serving in the forces. So the entire staff was female, except for the headmaster. Mm-hmm. He was the only male person in the school. But we were very lucky in many ways, anyway, that I remember her, the lady that taught all the sport in the school. She actually played cricket for England. Her name was Miss Buck, and she did a great job of teaching all of us as boys and everyone else soccer and some track and field. And then when the war ended, of course, all the male staff that survived the war came back, including a short little gentleman. He was only about 5'6" tall, I think, called Jack Lamb, who was the PE master. And he was a very interesting person. And one of the interesting things about him, he taught us all to pole vault. In those days, of course, there were no fiberglass poles or not even steel poles, so he used bamboo poles. And he himself had been a prisoner of war in a Japanese war camp.
Boy.
And one of the things they allowed prisoners to do was exercise, do gymnastics and exercise generally. And so he taught himself to pole vault with the idea that he could vault over the fence of the prison camp. I don't think he ever had to do that, actually.
No.
It was relieved first. But of course, he taught all of us to pole vault anyway, and that was... We were probably one of the few schools in the north of England that did pole vault. And, of course, it became one of the events of that I followed later on when I decided that there might be a future for me in track and field. I'll just divert for 1 minute. In one high school meet, and I have a newspaper cutting from Morecambe to recount this. Let me get this right now. I won the long jump, high jump, pole vault, and hurdles. And I came second in the one, the two, and the four. And, and the only throwing event we had was throwing the cricket ball, which I also won, which stood me in good stead later on when I discovered what a javelin was. And so that was my school days, Morecambe Grammar School. And Morecambe, many people, particularly people that are fond of food, know that Morecambe is renowned for the shrimps, and there really were shrimps in the Morecambe Bay. They were usually about half an inch long, tiny, tiny, and local fishermen and their wives spent their lives picking the shells off these shrimps. And I think so to this day, Morecambe shrimps are so, warranted by the royal family. You know,
Keith, I just want to interject.
That's the end of my school.
Yeah, yeah. I just want to enter. Okay. The name of this young person who is watching and listening is Edric Poitier. Okay, and he went to Britain. Well, he's a track and field coach. And he went to Britain with, volleyball.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he was involved in volleyball, and he watches the show every now and then. But so much has happened in your life, Keith. Tell us about the Commonwealth Games with Tommy Robinson.
Well, that was a long time ago. I think that was 1958.
58,
right?
Wales.
In Cardiff.
Cardiff.
Well, I managed to get selected for the English team in the long jump event. I also represented Britain and England in the decathlon. But at that time, there was no decathlon in the Commonwealth Games. So anyway, I was in the in those games. I didn't win a medal, by the way. I did manage to get in the final.
But you were there.
I was there, and I was teaching in England and competing in track and field. And almost every weekend when I was competing, it rained. And I got to my geography was not very good, but I got to thinking there must be places in the world better than this where the sun shines. And after several years of teaching in England and getting rained almost every weekend, I got, it was called the Times Educational Supplement, a newspaper supplement with all the teaching jobs available throughout the world. So I started looking through that and seriously thinking, now I know which countries are warm, I don't know where they are necessarily. and I picked out, there were three that had jobs available that seemed to suit me. You know, I taught maths, I taught science and physical education, of course. And the three countries with jobs that attracted me were Ethiopia, Sudan, and the Bahamas. And I sent the same letter of application on the same day to all three of those. And during the Commonwealth Games, I got a telegram. How they found me in the Commonwealth Games, I have no idea, but I got a telegram inviting me to go to London for an interview for the job in the Bahamas. And as you know, Tommy Robinson was the star of the whole games. So he was all over the British newspapers, big photos of Tommy Robinson of the Bahamas. So I went and found this Tommy Robinson in the games village and introduced myself. And he was very good. Tommy said, "Oh, we love our track and field in the Bahamas. I hope you get the job." So I said, "Well, tell me a bit about the Bahamas." So we spent at least half an hour talking, and I did learn, you know, about the Bahamas, and learned that the school I'd applied to, Government High School, at that particular time was well known for academics, but not particularly well known for sport. And in the most recent inter-school track and field meet, had actually placed fourth behind St. John's, St. Augustine's, and Queen's College. So anyway, the job appealed to me, and from what Tommy told me about the Bahamas, you know, lots of sunshine, nice beaches and so on, I thought, well, that would be great if I can get that job. So I went to London for the interview, and I must confess, I've always felt a little guilty because at the interview, of course, I think they must have been really impressed by how much I knew about the Bahamas as opposed to the other people they were interviewing. And of course, that's all thanks to Tommy. And anyway, I was pleased to be appointed to the Government High School, and I actually landed in the Bahamas on January the 4th, 1959, and I was met at the airport by the then acting headmaster, principal, Cecil Bethel.
Oh, boy.
And I always remember he was with another English, a Scottish teacher, actually, who had a spare room and had agreed to let me stay there until I found a place to rent and live. And I said, in conversation, I said, "Mr. Bethel, when does school open?" And he said, "Mr. Parker, we opened this morning, and this is your timetable." And he handed me the timetable. So I thought many, many years afterwards, I used to think that's the way to start a new job, you know. You say, "Okay, this is it, and I'll see you there at 9 o'clock tomorrow morning." And that was how I began my life at Government High School. I taught there for just short of 3 years, and then the Department of Education, which later became the Ministry of Education, ran several advertisements in the local papers seeking to expand the curriculum from the basic maths and English to some practical subjects like art and music and physical education. And I thought, "Oh, here we go again. That sounds like me." So I sent an application into the education department to become a school inspector for physical education. And you may be interested to know that there were four of us appointed, I think, within the same week. Me for phys ed, Horace Wright for art, Timothy Gibson, who later wrote the National Anthem, of course, for music, and Dorothea Bowen for home economics. So that was quite a foursome.
She's from West End, and was she somebody who was in the hospital?
That was her sister.
Oh, her sister, okay.
Was the matron. Her sister was the matron of the hospital. Dorothy was a home economics specialist. And so the four of us went to every island in the Bahamas that had a school on it, except for one, and that was Rum Key. We never managed to get to Rum Key because, of course, most of the travel in those days used to be on by sea. There were very few airports around, and every time we planned to go to Rum Key, there was not a hurricane exactly, but really bad weather. So we never got to Rum Key, but we got to every other island in the Bahamas that had a school on it. So I always considered myself very fortunate and one of the very few people probably to have seen the whole of the Bahamas.
I just want to say that there are two people watching. Additional
only
people
two?
Now. No, I'd say additional people. And one is Garfield McPhee. Uh-huh. And he went to Eastern. And he
Eastern Senior.
Mm-hmm. And then there is one called Kelly Bowers. And Kelly Bowers is in Grand Bahama.
Uh-huh.
But he lived on the top of, what do you call it, Kemp Road. In that area. In that area. And mm-hmm. he also was a part of the Church of God of Prophecy Band.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if he is able to do anything like that now. But thank you so much. He normally, usually watches it.
Mm-hmm.
So tell us about your involvement in competing for the Bahamas, number one, and your coaching people.
Right, well, can I go back a little earlier than that?
Yes, you can.
I only got into track and field athletics by sheer chance, I think. I was actually a group of so-called promising young tennis players in England. And I went to a coaching course for tennis players at one of the national recreation centers. And whilst there were lots and lots of different sports being taught at the same time. And during the week, it was a one-week course, you had a day off from whatever you'd gone there for, and you had an option to go on any of the other things that were being offered. And the thing that I thought was very interesting was archery. So I said, yeah, I'd like to go and do archery. But fortunately, the archery, as it turned out, archery was full. So they said, well, anything else you'd like to do? And I said, well, in school, I used to do quite a lot of running and jumping, so how about athletics? And they said, yeah, okay, there's plenty of space there. So I joined a group of youngsters with a then national coach, whose name I remember, Eric Edwards. And we did, as usual, and, you know, young people's coaching courses, you usually finish the end of the day having some sort of little competition. So at the end of the day, we all did the events we'd been. I'd never seen a javelin before, of course. And hurdles, I don't. Yes, oh yeah, I used to hurdle, so I'd seen hurdles. But anyway, we finished up with the little competition. And I was just in my tennis shorts, tennis shoes, my Dunlop green flash tennis shoes, no spikes or anything. And I won a few of these events, including a long jump. And this national coach came to me and said, Mr. Parker, you know, someone represented England last week, and he only jumped about a foot further than you jumped this afternoon. If I give you a workout schedule, would you give it a try and maybe consider track and field instead of tennis? And I said, yeah, sure, why not? So he gave me a workout, and the week finished, and then I, you know, went home and started training following the schedule that Coach Edwards had given me, and joined a local track and field club, and soon started competing. And I've always loved competing in things, even when I hardly knew how to play the game or whatever. But anyway, that's how I got into track and field. And in those days, a decathlon, most of the decathletes were people like me that were pretty good at a lot of things, but not particularly good at anything. Not like the decathletes of today, who are absolutely outstanding at almost every event. So anyway, I did the decathlon, and I won the Northern Counties Championship several times, and the Northern Counties Long Jump. Those were my best two events. And before very long, I was selected to represent England and Great Britain in various events. And that's what I'd been doing at the same time I was teaching at the Doncaster Grammar School immediately before coming out to Government High School. So I was still actively competing in track and field when I got to the Bahamas. So there weren't many meets in those days, and there were no tracks, of course. It used to be Clifford Park, used to mark out for an inter-school meet once a year, and the Empire Day, as it was then, sports. Those were about the only two sports track and field events in the year when I competed
Keith,
in that.
Keith, we did have something out east at St. Augustine's, and we had an event at St. Joseph's. And they had the St. Joseph, they had the public schools events. Mm-hmm. At St. Augustine's, well, they had a different thing.
Mm-hmm.
Nice track.
I thought that was after me arriving. But anyway, you went there, so you should know
yes,
that.
Yes, yes, yes. But let me say something.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody is watching. The name is Sylvia Butler.
Mm-hmm.
She watches a lot. So thank you so much. Mm-hmm. So tell us about your competition for the Bahamas.
Well, that was very interesting. I was selected for the Bahamas team to compete in the West Indies Federation Games, which didn't last very long. I think there were only about two of them held. And the only thing remaining of the so-called Caribbean grouping is CARIFTA, which of course is Caribbean Free Trade Area. But the free trade never materialized as far as I know.
We understand that.
But of course, the CARIFTA Games is well known, and I think it's just about responsible entirely for the success of
mm-hmm.
and the fame of track and field athletics in the Caribbean. So anyway, the Federation Games, I think...
You did compete in that.
I did compete in that. And
what did you do, and who else? It was more than significant.
It was...
First time with women.
Well, I competed in four events, and I didn't win any medals. I came fourth in all four events, actually.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the athletes were my students from Government High, quite a few of them, made the national team, even though it was a senior team.
Go ahead, Keith.
So one more thing which stands out in my mind now. At the time, it just seemed rather strange. As far as I know, there may have been one more white athlete in the whole games, but I don't think so. So I was the only athlete in the total in the whole West Indies Federation Games. Not that it makes any difference, of course. That's the great thing about sport generally, in my opinion, and particularly track and field. If you're good, you're good. It doesn't matter what you look like.
Yes. So tell us about the competition in that first event.
Well, that first event, I came fourth in the high jump. A great height for me in those days, about 5'9", 5 foot. I once cleared 5'11". I never mind 6 feet. My own height was about 5'10½". So I don't know what it was won at, probably. I think I may be right. One of the government high jumpers, Alison Dean, he was on the team too. I'm not sure.
Alison wasn't on that team.
He wasn't on that team?
No.
Oh, I thought he was.
No, there were basically... the relays, the two relays, the relay with Tommy.
Tommy was the only person that won a medal. I remember that.
Yeah. No, let me tell you, with Tommy Robinson, Enoch Backford, who was at St. John's, what's his name? Poison. What's the name of my friend? They're right around the corner. Right around the corner. I'll remember the name now. And he is just great. He won two medals.
Not at that game.
Yeah, at those games. I'm talking about 1957, Keith.
Oh, okay.
I'm not talking about further on.
Right.
Further on, you had Ralph Harris and a number of people. Mm. So what I'm saying is that Tommy was there in that relay, and then the 4x4. Now remember, you didn't have to be Bahamians, and one was George Shannon.
Oh,
he competed in the 4x4, and that was a record.
Mm.
And then we're talking about Hubert Dean went to St. Augustine's. He was a part of the 4x4. But the person who was right around the corner, I'm trying to remember his name now, he won a medal in the 4x4 and the 4x1.
Oh.
Oscar Francis, that's his name.
Yeah, right.
Oscar Francis, and he went to St. Augustine's. He was able to, the first person who was Sachs' hero.
Yes. The coach of the team that I was on, by the way, was Charlie Wright.
Charlie Wright.
Yeah. Mm.
You know, I was a member of the team, not the team. There was no Pioneers at those days.
No.
So
no.
I went from the valley, from the valley all the way to the church that she goes to. St. Joseph's. And that's where Charlie Wright was. And Charlie would, every time I come home, I would tell Mommy what the coach say, Charlie Wright. He'd say, don't do this, don't do that, don't do the next thing. And my mommy said, well, who is this man anyhow?
Mm-hmm.
And the point is that coaches have such, how do we call it? People who listen to coaches really have something going. I still cannot forget Charlie Wright.
Right.
So let's jump to the 1962. That's when we had the, that's when Jamaica had its independence.
Mm-hmm.
Weren't you on that team? Ralph Harris and Pat Ramming and all of that?
I remember those being on a team, but I didn't think it was 62. Maybe it was 62.
Yeah.
There were a lot of government high students on the same team as me anyway.
Yeah. Mm. Well, 62 was their independence.
That was it?
Mm. 62 was their independence. Oh,
maybe that was it. You're good at these dates and things, and I'm not.
No, it's significant, and that's when... You know, that's significant. That's really significant.
Yeah.
So,
Mr. Parker, Edric Poyter is saying to tell you hello.
Yes. I mentioned him. Yeah. I mentioned him. Yeah. And he actually was showing exactly what they did in England. In England at that time.
Mm-hmm.
Let's now switch to...
You better switch to squash,
No, no, switch to the coaching.
I know, right? You want to talk about squash.
Switch to the coaching that you did in the Bahamas. Mm-hmm. And there's one of them that did something unbelievable. You were there.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about when we had the first time we call it the Queen Elizabeth Sports Center.
Mm-hmm.
And I had the... I had the great thing of beating your man. And I'm talking about Timmy.
Timmy Barrett.
And if you...
I found that very difficult to believe.
No, I did. You were there.
Well...
He had a bad heel, but you tried...
Yeah, there must have been some explanation.
Yeah, but you're forgetting what happened. I say you're forgetting what happened.
That's why I refer to you. You've got a good memory.
Yeah, so... But the point is that you told him that he needed to have speed when you're doing those number of jumps. You've got to be able to, you know, because the last jump is the one that you may win.
Mm.
So you were very good with that. So talk a little bit about that.
Well, I'll go back before that meet. I remember teaching a whole class full of young boys in... the hall, which was the only gym we had at Government High, which later became College of Bahamas, now university, yes. Of course, and a whole group of class, you know, maybe about 15, 18 young boys, maybe about age 11, I would guess, youngsters, just new in the school. So I lined them all up and said, okay, stand on one foot and keep your balance. And this is, I sure think this is the best way to introduce triple jump. And I've done it to my young grandson, who is just 6. And he's quite good, actually. But so anyway, you stand on one foot. So all the class stood on one foot. Said, okay, hop forward and land on that same foot and keep your balance. So they all leapt forward. And then I said, okay, keep your balance now. Don't jump or anything. Just take a long stride with your other foot as far as you can reach. Okay, do that. So they all did that. And I said, oh, okay, put both arms behind your back and swing your arms and take off and land on 2 feet. So they all did that. And I look around and there's one kid about 5 feet in front of all the rest. And I thought, oh, he must have taken an extra stride. So I said, let me see that again. And he came back. And the same kid did it again. There he was, way out in front of everyone. And that was Timmy Barrett.
Excellent, excellent.
At age about 11.
Yes, excellent,
so
excellent.
He was destined to be a triple jumper amongst many other things.
But what happened afterwards? I tell you about, I beat Timmy because of his challenge with his heel and all of that. Mm-hmm. And the next time they had an event, B3A's event, we thought that we would beat. But Timmy went from whatever he did then to 48-something. Mm. And then talk about going down to Puerto Rico.
Mm.
For the CAC games in San Juan.
Mm. I didn't think it was in San Juan, actually.
It was in San Juan, yes.
The one that was rained out, you mean?
No, that's a later one. So let's talk about that. So what happened is that Timmy went to, and you taught him very well about mm. being ready to do 6.
As many as it took.
As many as it took to yeah. win.
Right.
So, and guess what he did? He did 48-something in the Bahamas. Wow. And he did 53-something in San Juan. It was just unbelievable. A person does not have that
yeah.
thing.
That was, yeah.
Just yeah. Say about 2 months later.
Yeah, going over 50 feet. Unbelievable.
53 feet. And he set the yeah. record for yeah. the CAC.
Yeah. That must have lasted quite a while.
Yes.
Because there were, I remember, I really didn't, I only did the triple jump as an athlete myself,
mm-hmm.
because it was something to do, you know, one
yeah,
more
yeah.
event. I never really trained at that, which former Prime Minister Christie
oh, yes.
always tells, whenever he's got an audience that includes track and field people, he always reminds me that he beat me in the triple jump. But if there is time, I always remind him that that wasn't really my event. I was a long jumper.
Yeah. But just to say, about Timmy and Christy,
mm.
Christy at the CAC games
mm.
with their independence,
oh, yeah.
he was a bronze medalist. He was a bronze medalist.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, that was big. That was big
yeah,
thing.
Right.
So anything else you'd want to talk about before we talk about birthdays all of that?
Well, you've talked about triple jump, mm-hmm. and quite honestly, we've had so many good
yes.
triple jumpers.
Unbelievable.
I became convinced there must be a triple jump gene
unbelievable.
In the Bahamas.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes, yes, yes.
I mean, even I remember, I can't remember the name of him right now, but an athlete, that went away to school somewhere as a fairly good sprinter. And when he came home, he was only in school, you know, 3 months, came home for Christmas. I said, how's it going? Fine, fine. You know, any track meets? Oh, yeah. And I said, what did you do? Oh, I came second in the 100, but I won the triple jump. I said, triple jump? You never triple jumped. And he said, no, but I've watched everyone else doing it, so I thought it must be pretty easy. So he went, and this is a true story, apparently. I can't remember his name, but he just turned out for the triple jump and broke the school record, never having triple jumped before.
Boy, that's something else. Yeah.
So, you know, maybe there is a triple jump gene circulating in the
there Bahamas. There is. Yeah. So let me say this. Yeah. Other than that, you were the person. We're talking about the world relays now. Mm-hmm. And then you were the top body with regards to World Athletics, okay? They gave you an award that mm-hmm. you don't find too often. Tell us about it, Dean.
Right. Well, it's an award that doesn't have a name, actually, because they've only given four in the world. It's a very nice plaque engraved, with my name on it, and it says for services to World Athletics.
Yes, yes.
Which, obviously, I think is, you know, a real honor. And
another British fellow would have given that.
No, it was his predecessor.
His predecessor. Mm. Okay. Yeah, understand.
Yeah.
The main diac. Yes.
Yeah.
Is there anything else you'd want to say? Because I just want to talk about a couple of things.
Well, a few things that even you and your great memory may not know. Mm. You know, I've been involved. There used to be a lot more, in my opinion, a lot more sport going on in Nassau than there is these days. I mean, cricket, for example. There was a big cricket league with 8 or 9 teams that played regularly. And I played in the cricket league. I played for a team called the Cornwall Wanderers. And when they disbanded, I played for the Westerns, which was the...
We know about the Westerns.
You know about the Westerns, right? The Mosses team, yeah. Right? So that was one.
Right, I have cricket was real popular. Mm. You could talk about Eddie Ford and all of that, basketball and all those kinds of things. People now with cricket, they go all over the place.
Yeah,
from the Bahamas, I have family who goes all over the place.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Yeah, but I mean that was one game I played.
Yes,
I was still playing tennis also here. I played badminton. I'd played badminton in England as well. And there was badminton here at the, I can't remember the name, the Presbyterian Church, right off at the end of Shirley Street, opposite the
Central
Bank
Rock,
now.
Yes.
There. Indoors, of course.
Yes.
And there used to be, you know, probably, I know, a dozen, 15 people play every week. Men and women, mm-hmm. and one of the people I met there was a man called Ivan Davis, and we got very friendly. We
Toppy Davis family,
right?
Yes.
Yeah, among many others. I mean, there's a whole family. There's at least 8 brothers, I think.
Davis's. Ivan is still living.
No,
his wife
a few
is.
Years ago. Elmer is still alive.
Yeah, she would. She used to be at Doctor's Hospital, as I could remember.
I'm not sure where she is now.
Yes.
Mm. Anyway, so I got very friendly with this badminton player and chatting, conversation. We agreed it was a good game, but squash was a better game. But there was no squash in the Bahamas then.
Right.
No, not at that time.
At that time.
Keith, we need to speed it up. We have about 8 minutes.
Okay.
8 minutes.
Okay.
We're talking about birthdays. Jamiko Archer.
Uh-huh.
Christine Rollins. And then you're talking about, these are people that I know, clients of mine and other people that I know. Janet Walkin, she is at, she used to work at BPL or B, yeah, at, there. Maria McKenzie Darling. Then Enrique McCartney, he is a priest, at, he's a priest, an Anglican priest, but he is at St. John's. And then we're talking about Campbell Clare. You know Campbell Clare.
From
you
just Squash,
talked about him. Yeah. His birthday is on the 9th. And also Doyle Burris is on the 9th. Now, I could tell you how old Doyle is. Doyle is going to be 79. Saturday.
I'm 89 right now.
You're 89, yes. Yeah, be the old man. 100, 100 is going to come in a quick way.
Well, I'm retired. You know, whenever, do you remember when dengue was very strong here?
Yes.
I got a really bad case, and I was in doctor's hospital, and I couldn't swallow, I couldn't eat. I was just lying there, and the thought came to my mind, maybe this is the end of it, the end of the line, you know. And then I thought, no, can't be. I'm not even 80 yet.
That's right.
My father was 90 when he died. My grandfather was 93. His grandfather, who I never knew, was 97. Mm-hmm. So I can't die and bring shame to the family name, you know.
I hear you.
So so I'm still here at 89. So,
that's right.
So, I got one more.
Yes.
I got one more year at least.
I see.
Sarah thinks that I should be aiming now for the next stage, you know, for the century. So I'll give it a try.
I hear you.
I'll give it a try anyway.
I have to share this joke. So Sarah, your daughter, Sarah Parker, is saying, she's saying Hawk invented social media with all these birthday reminders before Facebook.
No. That's,
and Sherman Stone is saying hi to you, Mr. Parker.
That's my business. That's my business. So let me go ahead. On the 10th, is the birthday of Jennifer Pete. She was at the NIB, and she'd been a client of mine for a long time. And then James Moxie has been a client for, he was working at Barclays, and then after a while he decided to be an attorney. And I think he's done much better as an attorney than otherwise.
Okay, I've got a buddy in here now.
Yes.
If you've got all these birthdays, I said, how come you forgot my last one?
What do you mean?
That's very unusual for you.
Yes, no, I know your birthday, Keith.
I know you.
I was here that Tuesday when he did.
Yes.
Okay.
He did.
So let's go a little further
anyway,
now.
Sorry.
Ariel Barrow, he's on the 11th. Charles Virgil is on the 12th.
You're talking about all these young boys now, right?
No. Some of them are older. And then we're talking about Andrea McSweeney. She's a client of mine and family of mine out of Grand Bahama. Altraviz Munnings, I don't know if you all know.
Zenit.
And then John Wilson, you all know John Wilson?
McKinney Bancroft
and BAF. You know what I'm talking about.
John was one of the very good Scotch
players. Yes, he was. And then Sharon Colbert is on the 13th. Ellis Clark is on the 13th. Mm. Andrew Tynes is on the 13th.
Mm.
My good cousin Peter DeVoe Isaacs is on Valentine's Day.
Okay, this list is long today.
Well, that's okay. Suda Merritt is also on the 14th, Valentine. Mariska Stubbs, you forget that.
Oh no, she's out to the sports and everything.
Yeah, well, she is on the 14th. I have Delores Worrell on the 16th, Cheryl Munro on the 16th. And I just want to just mention some deaths, which is most important. Neville Woodside. Neville Woodside went to St. John's. He had been a client of mine forever, and he passed, okay? And then we look at Robin Sweeting. Robin Sweeting lives across the street from me, and on Saturday morning, I think it's Saturday or Sunday morning, I walked past his place and saw some people, I saw some police, and then I found out that he had died that morning. And then E.R. Hanna, he is from St. Barnabas, and they live all the way out where Stokes Place was. But nobody would remember where Stokes, Stokes Place, not Yamacraw. No, not Yamacraw. Anyhow, and the other people are, my last one, I would say two other people, would be Cedric Miller, who is a cousin of mine who just passed a day ago. And then I talked about E.R. Hanna, but Charlie Stewart. Charlie Stewart was, I was shocked and amazed yesterday. I can't sleep at night sometimes, so I look at Facebook, and there was Charlie Stewart. Charlie Stewart was, I came from Minnesota, and I was at the Department of Statistics. And Charlie had the opportunity to be the director of statistics in the Bahamas, and he passed. And then all I can say is, may the souls, their souls rest in peace and rise in glory. Anything else?
Well, I can't let this opportunity pass without referring to what I consider my most successful coaching experience. I think I was very fortunate that various PE teachers used to bring students to me that they thought were promising for me to coach in, particularly in technique events, field events. And I remember Tom Grant, actually.
Yeah, he was on that team
that
we're talking about.
He brought a young, big boy to me.
Bradley?
Who was Bradley Cooper.
Bradley Cooper, yes.
And Tom said, Mr. Parker, I think you can do something with this boy. And as you know, I coached Bradley for quite a long time. So about, he was probably about 15 then. And in a similar way, the name just slips me now. The St. Anne's PE teacher brought a young girl to me, and that young girl was about 15 or so, Chanel Ferguson.
Thank you ever so much, and thank you so much to this young man who is a ramming out of Fox Hill.
Yeah.
I don't know if he has any connection with our own Pancho Ramming.
Pancho, of
and
course.
Thank you so much. And we're looking forward, as we say now, next week we will have Ricardo Lightburn.
Okay.
You know Ricardo Lightburn?
He
won the high jump at the first Grifter Games. No, the pole vault. The pole vault, the first Grifter Games.
Right. Yeah.
Held right here in the Bahamas. Thank you ever so much.
Okay,
and
thank you.
We have to do it again. At some point.
Don't forget, when you move the office downstairs, so I don't have to do all these stairs.
Thank you, Keith. Thank you, Keith. Thank you so much.
Thank you anyway.
Thank you.
I appreciate your memory. Yeah. And those...
Most of it, yes.
And those young people like Bradley. Bradley, I think, is 62 now.
Yes.
And you might be interested. Brent Vanderpool, junior... His son is pole vaulting, you know that.
Yes,
do you?
I know that very well. I know that very well.
Mm.
So we talk about it.
Right.
So he cannot be on a Bahamian team. But no, that's what the situation is now. But he can
get the Bahamas record.
Get the Bahamas record, yes. Thank you.
Okay. Right. Good. Well, thanks a lot.